see here. Ready. Where are we at? So is it this one? Where the hell are we? Oh, it's there. So we should have clicked in by now. Oh, there it is. Okay. All righty. I think we're here. Are we here? Are we here? Are we here? Are we here? Test, test, test. Okay, we are here. Okay, good. Test this one. All righty. I think we're here as well. Okay. All right. We're here. I believe we're here. Hi, everyone. Okay. Where are you? Hi, all. I was hiding because I knew what to do a show. I'm shy. Now, there's a recording button in StreamYard. Yeah, I know. I've been going back and forth with them all week, and just to get some understanding of what's going on with everything. When you click on, when I click on record, you should all be getting some kind of streaming going to you as well. Yeah, so basically it's just recording, letting you know there's a recording on your, whatever's going on. Anyway, tonight's show, I'm going to go back to AI and nano and a bunch of stuff. I'm going to pull something from the past as well as, you know, the future kind of thing. Well, the future. We are in the future. We are the future. Because a lot has happened over... I mean, geez, when we think about all this shit that's going on, and we think about all the events that have happened and everything that everybody has been talking about for a long time, so much of it has already happened, and so much of it has gotten beyond the norm. It just seems like we're on track. You know, everything that we've tried to do since 2005, 6, 7, 8, 9 is, you know, has been proceeding accordingly. There may have been some delays here and there, but it's still been on track. This is almost as the future is set in stone. Latest number of migrants is 2.4 million. Somebody told me there was over a million last month. Just out of, coming in from the West. The numbers are only supposed to be about 500,000. That's all that they can really allocate to come through the system. And they're bringing all kinds of replacements in. Because that's how many people have died in Canada. That's how many Canadians have died. So when we're talking 2.4 million, well, I'll do the math. If the U.S. lost 80 million, we have lost 8 million. 8 million. So if our population was, if it was at 34 million, which I really doubt, if they're saying our population right now is at 41 million, what, did everybody in Canada start making babies all of a sudden? Did we all win a lottery? Oh, I'm going to make a baby. I got $1 million. Ooh. Hey, honey, you want to make a baby? I just won a lottery. The population growth in Canada was like 1.2, 1.3. we weren't making any babies. So how did we go from a 26 million to a 34 million and then lose 8 million of that back to 26 million and then jump back up to 41 million? So you can't even believe the numbers that the government's even given you. But I do believe that the numbers that are coming into the country far exceed those that are Canadian. And how many Canadians have left the country? My last count was over 300,000, 400,000 actually. Used to be a good place to live. Used to be. You know, used to be. So like I said, when we're looking at the big picture of North America, I mean, even in some part throughout the U.S., I've seen it more in Phoenix than I have seen it here, but I haven't gone out. Well, actually, no, it's not true. I have gone out. And I'll tell you what I've noticed here in the suburbs of Detroit. It's still relatively American. You know, I'm just saying it in such a way where it hopefully doesn't offend anybody, but it's still very much American. And that doesn't mean just strictly European descent. That's also referencing African American as well. So you see a lot of that. You still see a lot of that. You will see Middle Eastern. You will see, but predominantly it's still an American. It's still American. Where Canada, it doesn't seem like no matter where I went in Canada, it's like the only thing that was Canadian was the flag. And I think they're going to pull that down too. It's like, oh, hey, there's the maple leaf. Wow, there's something that's still Canadian here in Canada. You know, and then I didn't get a chance to read it yet, but our Twinkle Toe Prime Minister just spent $8 million. I don't know what he spent it on. Maybe it was a sex change. Who knows? You never know. You just never know. The amount of money that is being squandered right now is to purposely destroy the economic strength of Canada and the U.S. I just listened to another podcaster talking about the United States. He follows the money. And he was saying that the United States is going to now give about $1 trillion across the board to the U.S., so that they will spend this money for anything, but primarily credit card debts, going on vacations. They're giving them money to go on a holiday. And then they're going to be expected to pay that back. So in the quickie moment, I know everyone's had a quickie, so you understand what I'm talking about. In that quickie moment, people are going to have money to splurge. They're going to give them back their tax dollars as a loan so they can go on their vacation, so they can pay off maybe some of their debts, so maybe they can buy a new car, buy a new, you know, they ain't going to buy a house, but buy a new car. So, or buy something, a new refrigerator or a new appliance or something of that nature. And then they're going to be in debt. And then what happens if the debt can't be paid? I mean, the manipulations that's going on here is crazy. And then listening to the stock market, I've been listening to the stock market all week off and on in the U.S., and it's unbelievable how the artificial intelligence is being propagated so much here. AI is the second coming in America. In the financial world, AI is the savior that's going to transcend everything that's ever been done before. That trillions will be made. Not billions, trillions. It's amazing. It's just totally amazing. Again, the fantasy. Oh, French made it. Eye in the sky made it. Aha. Uh-huh. Greetings, Earthlings, and Tony, LOL. Okay. So hopefully all you guys can hear me. So yeah, we're having So you are by me. I'm in the same metro area. Yeah. Well, they're talking about giving back $1 trillion in the U.S. That's like, so listen to a podcast. They're talking about this. And he said it's going to be a good and bad thing. It's good short term because everyone's going to spend this money. You know, they'll take care of credit cards, but then they got to turn around and pay that back. And the jobs here are not any better anywhere than anywhere else. You'll see the odd help wanted sign. But I went to a couple places, and they weren't looking for anybody either. So a lot of things are the U.S. is transitioning, but because it's a bigger wheel to turn, it takes a little bit longer to turn the wheel. So the transitional period can take a little bit more time here. You know, it's just the way it is. But depending where you are, again, depending where you are, and depending on the infrastructure that they already have set up, like Phoenix, Arizona, the infrastructure is already set in place, so they can turn that into a 15-minute city and make segments out of that, and they wouldn't even know it. And the whole thing is really unique. I've been watching the movie series or TV series Colony, and in there, when you watch it, the 15-minute city thing is flagrant. The enforcement of these 15-minute cities and the law enforcement that's there, it's all military. It's a military police force. It's amazing when you see this show, how they're depicting that an alien invasion would come in and basically create an overwhelming conquest of the world, and within moments would have already had picked people to represent them to run again these segments or these quadrants where people lived. And one segment of it would have had some kind of structure, and the other side would have anarchy. And it's exactly what we would see. You know, one side you'd have a more controlled suburban lifestyle. The other side you'd have a ghetto anarchy. You know, the whole idea that power would rule. Might is right, that kind of thing. So we got here. I'm watching Dark Matter, Quantum Physics. Okay. All right, Sean's here too. Cool. So, like I said, there's a lot to show you. And I was looking at that show I'm watching, Colony. And it made me think, you know, anybody that watches this should be able to put the pieces together. And it should give you a bit more of a motivation to get things ready, because it really does seem like we do have an alien invasion already running the planet. I don't even think the Rothschilds and all the other families, the older families, are really in power and control anymore. I think something far more demonic than them is running the show. I think they're still using them since they control the infrastructure. I think that's what it appears to me more and more when I look at some of this stuff. Think, wow. Because of the rapid rate of transition that we're going through and the rapid rate of interface and integration that we're becoming more and more integrated with the technology, it's almost as if they are looking at collecting people as a database. You are a database, whether you realize it or not. Every cell in your body has your recorded genetic code. Every cell in your body has recorded DNA of all your ancestry. Okay, that's a shitload of data that has been collected for whatever time frame or time period that you have been alive or that your bloodline has been going on. That's all being collected. Seems like it's all being collected and assimilated. Definitely seems that way, yeah. Like I said, the more I'm looking at a lot of these things and the more I'm seeing the directional point that they're presenting these shows, the more I'm seeing more and more how what's in place, I mean, what they're doing is already in place. Oh, Seuss, you made it. Seuss Smith made it. Hi, the hive mind. Yeah. Seuss, I thought you were going to be working today. Yeah, so like I said, when we're looking at a lot of these shows, I think the point to be really looking at in all this is we are really, these themes have been coming out more and more and more. They're becoming out in a more, at a faster rate. See more of these type of movies, you know. You're seeing more of these movies with these old gods popping up even. You know, and what are they referencing? Old families. So, yes, I am working and listening. Oh, you are working. Aha. Uh-huh. Okay, cool. See, have the radio loud. That'll get you a promotion. Who is that guy? Are you crazy? And like I'm saying, and the other thing too that they show you in these movies where we think it's drama, it looks a lot like what would happen in the situations that are there, because the powers that be that would be controlling these families and the people that they picked to choose to represent them in their interest would show you the dynamics that goes on in this kind of life as well. Think about this. Okay, one dynamic, anybody that would stray through a town would get robbed. Even kids would rob them, because they would come from, they would be like jackals or hyenas attacking a lion. There'd be more than one coming from every different direction, and they would nip at the lion at different points, right, to keep the lion distracted till one of them would be able to get into a position where they could kill the lion. But the same thing, little kids, again, you wouldn't think of it this way, but they were presenting this, and I thought, you know what, that's exactly what would happen if this was a ghetto and we had adverse poverty. You would teach these kids to hunt like that. There are 9 million people in Canada among the 2.4 million. I don't, you know what? I don't even believe there's 39 million. I think that's all bullshit. I saw another number saying 41 million, and I know damn well that's not possible. Not in Canada. You go look at the actual number of kids that are being born in Canada. I think it's 1.3, 1.5. It's not even enough to increase the population in any level. So that's those. Anything the government's giving us today, I don't really believe. But I do know that the numbers that are coming into Canada, they're more higher than what they've been telling us. But there's a lot of them that are coming to Canada and leaving Canada. They're not staying that long. And those numbers may not reflect how many of those have left. These Indians were coming in and saying that they were ready. They came and left. Are all traitors. Traitors. What? Okay, Smith's the same as a traitor. What are you talking about as far as traitors go? I'm not, I lost you somewhere. Turn the kids against the powers. Have them. The kids. Okay, I'm going to give you the scenario that they're presenting, which is what would happen if they all of a sudden decided to create a 15-minute city and put a wall up. Let's say they put a 50-foot wall up. Okay, an unscalable wall. So you got, I'll give you an example in Windsor. Let's say I take Wyandotte. And Wyandotte Street, you got a section there, probably a good 16K of everything there. So let's say you put a wall on one side of Wyandotte and you block the people from the other side so they can't come through unless they go through a gate or have a pass to come in with a passport or whatever. And they're locked on the other side. And if they can't enter, then what happens on that side of the wall? At least have left when travel restrictions. The number is closer to 400,000. Those are the numbers that I saw that have left Canada permanently. Okay, so like I said, I don't believe any of the numbers that they're telling us. I don't think they even know themselves, to be quite honest with you. And I was just reading something today. Who was it I was reading? There's a major publication that does a critique and gives statements of fact. And they asked them if any of them actually tested the products or tested the data. And they said, hell no. Nobody does. A lot of these things are being pulled out of thin air. And when the government speaks, why would anybody believe anything they put out? That makes I still have... lost my thoughts on that one. Like, why would anybody believe the government, especially after the whole COVID nightmare? How many times did they lie to us and we're still going to accept what they had, give us as facts? Really? Oh, the shot will protect you. You won't get COVID. Oh, you won't get sick. You get the shot, you'll be safe. Yet everybody had to stay 6 feet apart. Wow, what a safety margin. Yeah. So, it's like I said, why would you believe them? How can I watch? I don't have, you don't have to. Vicky, how many times have we given you free movie sites? What are you doing with those things? You don't have to buy it. Hell, holy cow. Vicky, use the links that we give you. Get on a computer. You're missing a lot here. Hold on. Where is it now? Here it is. Alrighty. It'll be in here. So use these links. I'm giving you these links, and even in Discord. Yeah, did you go into Discord? I put this in the Discord already. There's three movie links you can go and click on. It's all in Discord. So we put, and again, everyone should be checking the Discord. A lot of people are putting a lot of information in there. They're asking questions and they're carrying on with all kinds of stuff. But it's tedious. It always buffers and stops. Well, there's three of them in there, Susan. So you choose another one. The reason why it may be buffering and stopping is because you may not have the bandwidth. I don't know what you're using for a provider. And if your computer only has a limited amount of RAM, then it may not work as well. You should have at least 16 gigs of RAM minimal in order to see these things, because you need the speed. You feel the need for speed. Let's see here. Yep. Let's see here. So, yeah, like I said, watch that. That's going to give you something to think about. When you analyze that and you begin to see what is probably going to happen. kicked me out, can't get back in. Where are you at? Are you in Rumble or? So, but yeah, when you watch these things, like I said, pay attention, you know, because I believe this is what I look, it seems to me this is where it's going to go. Also, French got advice from using the free. Yeah, that's possible, but all you need is an antivirus program. That's why we gave him the 360 and the Avira. So load that on your computer before you do these things. I mean, if your computer doesn't have the adequate protection, if that can get in, then anything can get in. If you're using AVG, disconnect your AVG, turn it off, because AVG will interfere. I have a vast, okay, download 360 with it. Sometimes you do need two of them. AVG was a hack. I had AVG and I got rid of it. So if you got AVG on your system, dump it. First put 360 on, then dump AVG if you have it. It's just useless. All it is just a spyware. I was on StreamYard. You're right about God not telling the truth. I just watched search Stats Canada for deaths of provinces by 2022. Very simple request. You'll never get any. No, of course not. Just take the population of the United States. They have 11 reporting stations. The average reporting station was recording about 45,000 deaths a day. A day. Sorry, a week. 1 week. 45,000 deaths a week. That equates to 2 million deaths a month. 24 million Americans died every year for almost 4 years. Do the math. That's 96 million Americans have died. And we're not hearing any more about people dying, are we? Nobody's talking about any deaths. They're trying to quell any kind of alert or fear or worry or anxiety. And yet we know these jabs are dangerous and they're bioweapons. I think they're an actual experimentation is what I think. They're experimenting with yeast. They were experimenting with different proteins to see how they could interface them with your body using nanogenetics and nanobiotech. I got some research in today's Substack that you can look for yourself and see how many of you women had or guys had yeast infections and you had a hell of a time getting rid of them, or you still can't. Chances are that the S. cervasi that they talked about was such a wonderful yeast. That was the yeast of choice for their exploitation and experimentation to manipulate proteins. So if you had anything in your food that had that specific strain of yeast, they were using that to experiment on the general population. Let's see here. Okay. Yeah. Everybody should have AVG is just a hack. And it'll stop you from going to different sites. It'll block you from entering different domains. I go everywhere, you know. I go and then I use different platforms. That's why I use Vivaldi. I use MaxTun. I use Brave. You know, I don't use DuckDuckGo because DuckDuckGo doesn't seem to have any real access to anything, you know. I've used it once and says, oh, this is a shitty search engine. You can't find nothing on it. You can also use it you can open up a start page, do your research, and just query or put a question in the URL. You know, so you have options. You do have options of what you can do. You know, And a lot of times it depends what you're using to access. If you're using a computer, a cell phone. I don't like cell phones, never have. I only use them now because I have to go back to Arizona. once I get to a place where I don't have to use a bloody thing, I'm not going to anymore. Yandex is, yeah, but Yandex, isn't Yandex One controlled by China? Or is that Russia? I forget. It's one of the two. But I just use these because I can just type in my query right in the URL and go right to where I'm looking for. And so again, that's what I prefer. And if I want to watch something, I'll go on one of those sites like Brave or other sites that have a blocking. It's Russia, okay. And then people will say, "Well, Russia is hacking your searches." Yeah, so is AI. So is Google. So is Bing. So is that's what cracks me up too. When we're looking at, like I said, these movies, really study them. You know, like I said, The Last of Us, that third episode was like the charm. And when you pay attention and see what he did and how he avoided it. Because what I see coming is going to be exactly that, in what Colony was showing. If you're stuck and you can't get out, depending on what side of the wall you're going to be living on, is going to determine how you're going to live. If you're completely sheepatized, if that's such a word exists, if you're completely sheepatized and you're on one side of the wall, you're going to do whatever they tell you to do. And if you do something or you don't do something and they accuse you of doing something, you'll wind up working in some hard FEMA camp, working in, you know, hard labor. And as laborers die, they'll need to be replaced. And people will be expendable. If they live on the other side of the wall, you know, the anarchy side, it's going to be about survival because resources will be extremely thin. Unless you're really out away from everything. Drones will be in the north, and the gun patriots will occupy the south. That's a good assessment. So you have to be somewhere in the middle, and you'd have to study the drone technology so you can determine what type of drone. They showed you that there too. They showed you the drones, and they showed you the how they had high-powered photonic particle weapons. Basically, just one shot and you're gone. Mm-hmm. You won't even know you're dead. Just blood splattered all over the place. Cooked blood. Microwave particle beam blood. The North would probably still be your best bet. You just would have to really, really understand the patterns of these drones and how they patrol. And how many would be there? You know, geofence people in a if they cross the barrier, heads blown off. I don't think it'll be heads blown off. I don't think they'll be able to cross the barrier unless they understand the field that will be running the fence. That space fence that's above that Elana Freeland talks about, I believe that's a jail. That's to keep the inhabitants from escaping from any kind of aircraft that may be available to escape. And I think if they bring that down on a planetary level, you won't be able to go near the fence. You get too close to it, either the radiation will kill you or making contact. Hey, Sam, how you doing? But I agree with you. It'll be something of that effect. Like I said, if you haven't watched it, I'm in the second season of it, and it's like I said, it's interesting. When you get past the rebellion and people having, you know, rebelling against the system and blah blah blah. Any rebellion that would be incurred inside of the one side of the wall where all the sheep would just be detrimental to everybody. It wouldn't matter. If they are on the higher ground and they have the superpowered means to control the population, you know, energy weapons, whatever. Guess what? Anything that gets done, it will be counterproductive. You'd either have to escape or you'd have to hit it with such a strike that you would take out a power base that is controlling that power. And again, I would not even know where to begin to look there. And especially if they're coming from another dimension, popping in and out, you know. They have already used DAWs against Australian demonstrators, sonic weapons. Well, maybe our lives have no value to them because maybe who's running the show isn't what we think they are. I'm glad I made it. I live. I like early shows. Thank you. Who's really running the show? I don't think, like I said, what I've been watching with some of the things that I'm seeing, we have all these old families that have been running the planet forever, from Asia to the U.S. Minister on TV yesterday announcing five seasons in Canada. Cold, really cold, colder, really colder and coldest, or cold, really cold, colder, coldest, frozen, or cold, really cold, colder, coldest, brandy. A fire season. That's the only time it's going to get hot in Canada. We'll burn it down. We'll burn down all the trees. We'll burn down all the bush. I like my five seasons better. Cold, colder, really cold, or cold, cold, really cold, colder, coldest, brandy. You got to get the brandy. Fire season to start, really. And where are they saying is it going to start, Cherie or Sherry? Where are they saying is what's going to start? Amazing. But see, this is what I mean. This is all manipulation. This is control. 90% man-made fires, but blaming it. Blaming El Nino, they are climate changing using chemtrails. Well, I think they already tipped the planet and turned it with the last ellipse that they said was going to be an eclipse. That I think it was all bullshit. Starting with Quebecers north, there's gold there. Oh, I see. Oh. So in other words, they're going to displace the natives again. Is that what you're saying? Does need to be cold for brandy. No, it doesn't, but it's a good excuse. It's really up and cold out there. I think I need a bottle of brandy. One of those situations, you know. No, even when it's hot, you can have brandy. All you need is some ice cream and, you know, vanilla ice cream or chocolate ice cream and pour a little brandy over it, you know. It's a nice dessert. Or you can make a white Russian. Or a chocolate one, depending on what you like. Yeah, well, anytime, that's what I mean. Anytime the government says something, you know, in regarding to forecasting the weather and targeting the North, you know, who's up north? There's a lot of lithium in northern Quebec. I really wonder how much longer lithium is going to be used. You know, I really wonder. And if the lithium's up in northern Quebec, I wonder if the Chinese own it. You know, that's another thing. So like I said, too, when you're watching these things, they even touch on the religion part. Because when this new directive comes in, there's going to be a new god or a new deity or a new religion or a new philosophical concept that they're going to incorporate to, again, further control the narrative. You know, if you're in this section, you're a Muslim. If you're in this section, you're a Christian. If you're in this section, you're a Buddhist. In this section, you're a Hindu. And they use the same principles pretty much to control everybody. It's all mind control. They show a section where a woman was a tutor, tutoring the family's child to believe in the ascension. And that way, and we already know there's a group that actually believe that aliens are going to come along, and it's the same idea as the rapture. They're going to, you know, pull them by their ponytail. Come on up, you know, that kind of thing. What we got here? So let's see where I go here. Okay. So this is another thing that, and they hit on this. And I kept thinking this is exactly what's going on now. That's why the MKUltra invented a lot of religions. Northern Quebec has diamonds, platinum, rare earth for computer chips, lithium. And I wonder who owns all that. Sure won't be Canadians or Canada. You know, like I said, when you look at all the resources in Canada, who controls what? You know, who controls what? Hey, Zsa, you made it. Zsa's here. Zsa. All right. You know, look at the oil. Pulled out of Alberta, shipped to Texas, refined, sent back here, and we have to pay the price. Controlling the mineral rights is one thing, but who owns them? That's another. You know, when you go buy a property in Canada, again, depending which province you're in, you don't own the mineral rights unless you pay for them. You know, if you don't pay for the mineral rights and they find something on your property, they can go underneath your property and yank them out. They rent your mineral claims for 2 years. Yeah. I wonder how that works with China or the U.S. or the U.K. or Germany or Russia, you know, whoever buys them. You kind of wonder. There are two standards. There's that, the standards for Canadians, and then there's the standards for foreigners. And foreigners are not bound by the same standards we are. If I was to come in as a foreign national to start a business or do whatever, I don't have the same regulations that you have. In fact, they concede a lot of the regulations. But if you're Canadian, you can't do it. It's just like anything else. Welcome to Canada, eh? Where Canadians get discriminated in their own country. Welcome to Canada. No China, India, Tata, mines, and others. That's what I mean. Who's mining the diamonds up in the Yukon? Isn't it De Beers out of South Africa? You know, they got the natives working for them, but I mean, who actually owns the mines? You know, that's what I mean. If you're Canadian, see, that's got to change. That's got to change. It's as if Canada's nothing but, you know, the global whore. And you come to Canada and you pay the whore to be able to play. Come on in. We'll fuck you, but you pay us for it. You know? And then they take it over. It just seems like when it comes to Canadians' interest in Canada, were left out. Makes you wonder. Makes you wonder. All right, let me play some stuff here. I'm going to play some stuff. Let me go over here and see what I downloaded. Give me a second, I got to get to it. It's a lot of, what's this? All right, this is Ray Kurzweil. And I'm going to play his version of the future. And when you listen to him, and you listen to some of the, let's see what we got here. Oh, it's just and they got another one about machinery interfacing. But when you hear his version, pay attention and again keep in mind what he's saying. I had another one that was better, but I couldn't find it. Somebody sent me something about him earlier, and I had it, and somehow it just decided to disappear. But take a look at this. This may listen to this. Hold on a second.
It's fundamentally accelerating. Explain that.
So, around 1981, I wanted to time my inventions. The inventors whose names you recognize, like Thomas Edison or Larry Page, were in the right place with the right idea at the right time. And so I started studying technology trends. I didn't think I'd find anything overly predictable. I started with the common wisdom, you cannot predict the future. And I made a very surprising discovery, which is anything having to do with information follows a perfectly predictable trajectory, and that trajectory is exponential. And our intuition about the future is not exponential, it's linear. And the primary difference between myself and my critics is we're looking at the same world, and they just use their linear intuition. It's just obvious. Halfway through the Genome Project, 1% have been collected, so mainstream critics said, oh, 1%, 7 years, can take 700 years, just like we said originally. I said, oh, 1%, we're almost done, because 1% is only 7 doublings. It had been doubling every year. Indeed, it was finished 7 years later. That's continued since the end of the Genome Project. So that's the essence of the idea, and it really is the foundation of my futurism. I did it primarily to time my own technology projects, and that continues to be the primary goal. But it also enables me to invent with the technologies of the future, because I don't have the computers from 20 years from now, but I can write about what the impact will be.
What is it about the modern world that has driven that exponential increase? Why does that happen?
Well, that's a very good question. I don't think we fully understand that. For one thing, it's human nature to try to increase things multiplicatively. If we're at 1, we try to make it 2. If we're at 1,000, we don't try to make it 1,001. We try to make it 2,000. And we create the computers of next year with the computers of this year. So our tools are getting exponentially better, and that enables us to keep that exponential going. Now, people say that exponentials can't go on forever. That's true, and there are limits, but they're not very limiting. I mean, we'll be able to multiply human intelligence trillions-fold before we run out of capacity.
So this way of thinking allowed you in, for example, in your book, The Age of Spiritual Machines, you made a large number of predictions about the future that surprised people at the time.
147.
And so what percentage of those actually came out?
So you can Google how my predictions are faring, and it analyzes those 147 predictions. 86% were correct to within 1 year. Some of the ones that were wrong, the 14%, were predictions like we'd have self-driving cars, which is off by maybe 5 years. So they were still directionally correct. But 86...
Give us a couple of examples, ones that you got right 10 years at least 10 years before they happened.
Yeah, I actually wrote them in the mid-1990s. So I thought you might ask that. So I'll just quickly, that the law of accelerating returns would continue for all these different information technologies, computation, communication, genetic sequencing. People would predominantly use mobile computing. A lot of these seem obvious because it's happened, but it was not obvious in the 1990s. Computers would have no moving parts, as say disk drives would become obsolete. Books, music, movies would become data files distributed through wireless networks and not physical objects. Computers routinely have wireless internet connection, be able to identify their owners from their faces. Chips would go from 2D to 3D. Computers would play a central role in every facet of education. Majority of reading is done on displays.
Well, you're now telling us, you know, today's news headlines and so forth. So, I mean, this is an amazing track record, I think. And but of course, we now have to ask you politely to make a new prediction for at least 10 years out that you've not made before, because this is Ted.
Yeah, that's challenging because I've made a lot of predictions. But so a trend that's happening, I mean, I've been writing since the 1980s and how things are getting better. That's going to accelerate. So I had an onstage dialogue with Christine Lagarde at her annual IMF meeting, and she said, well, yes, there's all those fantastic things in digital technology, but you can't eat information technology, you can't wear it, you can't live in it. And I said, all that's going to change. We're going to have 3D printing out clothing starting around 2020. We'll print out modules we can snap together and create a house that was demonstrated recently in Asia. We'll grow food with vertical agriculture, hydroponic plants for fruits and vegetables, in vitro cloning of muscle tissue for meat. And these are basically making these physical products into information technology, and we'll have the 50% deflation rate, because you can get the same computation you could get a year ago for half the price. There's a 50% deflation rate. And
okay, I'm going to just interrupt there. And he's correct in that regard. So when we see some of this stuff that we're seeing as entertainment, you know, and they're projecting, okay, I'm going to play another projection video. Again, this was done by Dr. Deagle. I think he's passed. But I'm going to play some of the stuff that he said back in 2009. And today we are dealing with that very thing that he was talking about. You know, 13, 14, 15 years later, we are now at the stage where he was mentioning this back in 2009. So Kurzweil is talking about how we're becoming more, again, integrated with technology. And there isn't going to be a simple little device. Things are going to get smaller, obviously, more efficient, and so forth and so on. But then, but the big wave going on right now, and it's even what DARPA is doing, is that they're now going into the cells and altering the cells so that they will be more compatible with nanotechnology. Their thing is, if you have nanobots inside your body, you'll live for a prolonged period of time. He's talking about, as well, intellect, right? That our intelligence will also increase exponentially. And that even though the technology will have limitations, the effect of that technology will be almost unlimited. Liquid and quantum human, yeah, they've already got that. But no, he's talking about, and I've been reading a lot about this lately with AI and what's going on. AI is going to fuse with quantum computing, which is going to make it even process even faster. It's already doing quadrillion computations in quanta seconds. It's now, it will go, it'll exceed that. It'll have the means to be able to create something and be able to manifest it in such a way that it's actually more permanent. With 6G technology, what they're talking right now is you'll be able to have a 6G image a 3D image or a 4D image right beside you, and you will not be able to distinguish it from reality to technology. They've already done it with these deep fakes. Then you go on to America's Got Talent. Go watch the Elvis performance. Now, it's very lifelike. It's very realistic. And that one, if you didn't know Elvis was dead, you would think he was performing. So, like I said, when we're looking at what he's saying and where this is going, we were talking earlier about the colony and how the colony is actually depicting what I see what would happen. It's funny because I've always pictured something like that, not to the same degree, but you have one side will become very tribal, and the other side will become very enslaved. Those who will not allow themselves to be slaves, if they're not slaughtered by the technology, then they have to deal with the anarchy because there won't be any law and order. Basically, you'd have to be able to defend yourself. Elvis isn't dead. He's frozen. We're throwing him for Rapture to sing us out. He ain't nothing but a hound dog. The comic relief. But I mean, this is where, I mean, like I said, when you start looking at these things, and like I said, you start listening to these guys and what they were talking about, just like Future Shock with Alvin Toffler back in the 70s, a lot of those predictions have came true. Now, whether they were predictions or whether they were just laying us the blueprint to what they were, where the direction we were heading in. And again, none of us are seeing or having the foresight to see the negative implications of all this technology. If we did, we would stop it, or we would have put a stop to it, or nobody would have used it, you know. But again, nobody saw the implications of any of this tech. Okay, today, I think Sherry's always teasing me about having blue hair. You know, come on in, I'll give you blue hair, something like that. But think about that. Future Shock was talking about that back in the 70s when that was not even around. There was no blue, purple, red, orange, yellow, whatever hair. People were either blonde, brunettes, or redheads. That was it. That was the three main colors that were there. And women had women parts, and men had men parts, and this was the norm. But today, one of the things they were projecting back in the 1970s, there would be either a factory or some kind of station where you can go into and have your skin color changed. They would put a layer of whatever color you wanted, whether it be a blue, a gold, a orange, like a copper, whatever color. Just like you would paint a car, you would paint a person. They're already projecting holograms in the sky, angels. Wait till they add voices. They've already done that. The voice thing has already been there. What was I watching? I was watching Colony, and it was interesting. They're showing the Navy jets and the Air Force were up in the air flying. You know, and they kept hearing a frequency, a song, You know, and people are, have already heard that too. They've heard, excuse me, things manifesting and hearing some kind of music, code. Use henna to color hair back in the, yeah. Henna was a big thing back then, even in the 90s. Henna was the rave. When you went to a health food store, there was about, what, 30 or 40 different shades of everything. Yet, blonde had, the blonde had about eight different shades of blonde. I didn't even know that was possible. Redheads had another 8 or 9 different shades of redhead. Brunettes went from dark to, you know, dirty. Dark to dirty. And then you had, well, I think brunettes were also considered anyone with black hair. So you had different shades of black, even. And then you had the shades of black that were almost blue. Burgundy was the most popular. Really? Okay. Was that a, that was a brunette, right? Burgundy? I don't remember now. There was some kind of reddish, brownish color. Yeah, so like I said, like I said, that was one of the things they were talking about. And one of the things they also mentioned back in the 70s, was that the 15-minute city would have been a 15-minute building. And they're talking about that now, too. Plum. So now, we're talking right now 15-minute cities where you can drive with an electro car. But they're now, they were talking back then a building structure. And when the buildings were built, they would be built like trees. They would have branches branching out from the side of the building. So you would have buildings going straight up, and then eventually they would have branches that would branch out. You would never have to leave your building. Your grocery shopping, your gym, your place to work would have all been in one spot. Imagine that. So you had that kind of personal information, Ace. That's how you know where she's bugging out. That's a hoop. All right, let me get back to the all the government buildings in Gatineau are being converted into a very small apartments. Yeah, yeah. They're doing that here too. Seems like all the land, wherever you're going, old buildings, old shopping malls, where they're tearing them down and they're producing apartments. So eventually this is going to be the standard. As far as home ownership goes, a lot of that's going to be wiped out too. Because if you can't afford to pay your mortgage or your costs to own a house, they can wipe out city blocks and build apartments. They can put a lot more people in those apartments and control them even easier. You say anything about yeast infection? Yes. Okay. The yeast, Yes, Cervasi, whatever it's called. They were promoting this big time in the last decade or so as the go-to yeast. So all your brewer's yeast, your Tarilla yeast, your there was another yeast they were using. Any yeast product that was being sold in the health food industry, in my humble opinion, was another hijack, because all these yeasts are has been and is being experimented by DARPA and other military agencies, because you can attach proteins to these things and make them do all kinds of wonderful things. So now let's say you're adding these yeast to your bread, okay, to get the bread to rise. What else is that doing? What is that doing with the gluten? We never had gluten issues. We never had bread issues prior to the 60s or 70s. People ate bread and never had a problem with it. You can't touch a loaf of bread today. It has an effect. The nutritional yeasts were never nutritional. That was the biggest. I told people 20 years ago not to even bother with that stuff. Because if women had yeast infections, you had some goofy gurus actually telling them to use the yeast, this nutritional yeast, to battle the yeast infections, and just made it worse. But if that nutritional yeast has been genetically modified, altered, or changed in any way, shape, or form, it's going to have a different reaction with your gut and your intestinal tract, and as well as with the bacteria in your gut. Because that's all protein. They use it instead of cheese. Not sure what they're using it for instead of, but they were using it because they were saying that nutritional yeast gave you all your B vitamins. Yeah, the vegans. We're going to eat our nutritional yeast. And yet you see all these vegans are sick. They were, I believe, a double blind. They got vegans to eat all the proteins that they wanted them to eat, bullshitting them about how they're complete, and have had, and there's nothing there that has a complete protein that's usable. Even soy does not have the full ratio of peptides to make it a complete protein. You have to combine it with rice or something else. All beans have to be combined with rice or corn or some other combination. None of them are complete. So it's unsafe to vegan? Yeah, I would say so. I think if you throw them to the pigs will throw them back at you. I'm not eating that. I was around a vegan one time. She was really bragging about her veganism. And all you kept hearing was the regurgitation in her gut. She had so much gas. And then she had bruised. And the bruise got worse. And I told her, I said, you need to take care of that. I said, if that gets to your heart, you're going to be dead. She started laughing until her sister said, no, she looked it up. Says, do what he tells you. So I got her on high doses of vitamin C to break the iron and the copper back and putting it back in the cells. But I mean, they bruise easy. And then another thing, I saw another vegan on YouTube, a little dipsy tipsy. I call them dipsy tipsies because they're not all there. She wasn't eating any meat, but she was taking about 25 bottles of vitamins just to compensate her not eating animal products. And the philosophy of vegans is that animals are being abused, so we're not going to eat the animals. Yet the plants and the vegetation they're eating is being just as abused, if not more so. So that used to kind of crack me up too. Because the GMO, the wheat, Monsanto did that. Well, the GMO was there, yes, but when you're adding a yeast that's been programmed to react with any protein, and all gluten is a protein, it never had any problem before, but if you genetically modified it, the problem with GMO wheat, the glutamate and the proline factors were altered. So it would always trigger a histamine response. But now you add a yeast material to react with that proline and that glutamate. Now you got however they decided to make it work. So if they got that in the gut and the gut was reacting to it, whatever way, shape, or form, or it was destroying the gut line or the intestinal wall, again, it was being weaponized. Now they're using this kind of thing, this yeast, for specific integrating with the nanotechnology, so that the nanotechnology can then program that yeast and that peptide when it gets into the body to do whatever they want it to do. Okay, there's another link in there where UV light can activate nanotechnology. And I said that a long time ago. I decided to put it up there as another thing for everybody to see, because nobody's really paying attention to nanotechnology like they should. Nanotechnology is a programmed device that can interact with anything and create whatever they want it to create. That's the dynamic of it all. So that's what makes it so dangerous. So again, when we're looking at a lot of the stuff, this is why I've been telling people for over a decade: no bread, no pasta, no rice, no cereal, no corn, no rye, no barley, no oat, no buckwheat, no quinoa, no couscous, none of it. It's all been modified. And again, if they've used a yeast with it, that yeast, whatever kind of yeast, baker's yeast, brewer's yeast, toriel yeast, whatever yeast they're using with it, it's going to create a negative reaction in the system. Because now you have a nanotechnology embedded into the heart of the DNA of that grain. And now all I got to do is turn on a frequency after you've eaten the damn thing, and now I've got you by the gut. Like I said, none of the stuff, we no longer have that luxury to think that I'm eating something safe. Neutralize it before you eat it. That was a common theme even before nano came along. The way you cooked it, the way you prepared your food was designed to neutralize parasites or bacteria or any kind of mold or whatever that might have been in the food that may have been sitting there or had gotten through the process in regarding to, again, neutralizing any of the harmful components of whatever you were eating. Like I said, things are no longer, we're no longer in Kansas. And when you listen to these guys and their projections, well, It has been nothing but weaponry. That's all we've been having is weaponry. Everything's been weaponized. And it makes things difficult, that's for sure. So let's see here. Taking a look here. All righty, let me get back to the recording. Hold on. Here we go.
That will attend these nominally physical products. Prediction, I would say that the early 2030s, we will have UBI, Universal Basic Income, in the developed world. It'll be worldwide by the end of the 2030s, and you'll be able to live very well on that. When we talk about jobs going away, people are alarmed by that because they are dependent on jobs for their basic material needs of life. But the primary concern will be on meaning and purpose. So we have UBI now in a kind of a disorganized way, food stamps, housing assistance, Medicare, Medicaid. I befriended a young woman who was homeless and panhandling in front of Whole Foods. And so I said, you should contact your sister, because it became apparent that she had assistance. Well, I don't have a phone. I'll get you a phone. And she says, you sound just like my therapist. So she actually has a therapist provided by San Francisco. Now, maybe not every city does that. But so we have kind of a disorganized form of UBI today that will become, I think, standardized by the 2030s, and you'll be able to live very well on that, and we'll still compete for attention, to give a TED talk, to publish a book and express yourself. The competition really will be for purpose as we move up Maslow's hierarchy.
Okay, so I want us to note this down correctly, because this actually was a bold prediction. So if I heard you right, correct me if I'm wrong, you're saying that by the early 1930s, Western countries will...
2030.
Sorry?
2030s.
Damn! I'm always 100 years late for everything. By the early...
Well, we did put Social Security in.
It's a lot easier to make predictions of the past, so I'm just saying. By the early 2030s, Western countries will, or richer countries, should we say, will be rolling out UBIs, universal basic income, enough for all of their citizens to live comfortably. Oh. And by the end of the 2030s, that will be worldwide.
Now, what Kurzweil didn't say was, sounds good, oh, we're going to have enough money to live on. Where? Canada's got a UBI kind of thing now for those who are pensioners, but the money you're getting is nowhere near enough to live off of that. So the other thing he doesn't tell you in his prediction, he left some things out, which he was aware of at the time too, that everybody would have to be digitally integrated with the system in order to get that. Because there's not going to be any cash around to distribute. Everyone thinks it's going to be great because now you got this cash in your hand. The government's not going to give you cash in your hand. That will never happen. That's all a pile of rubbish. But I just heard, like I said last week, at the beginning of the show, I was talking about this. U.S. government is going to give out $1 trillion. And again, they're going to delegate that money to different groups of people, different age groups, retirees and handicapped and so forth and so on. Because there's a whole segment of the population that doesn't have enough money to go and spend. So they're going to give them this money to be able to go and spend, to stimulate the economy, to give it a shot in the arm, which gives it a fake reading. With the stock market exchanges and the overall GDP, it's a fraud. It's a front. While everything is looking good, the resources are drying out. The control mechanisms are creeping in. And once you're broke, or once you've got to a point where you have the inability to pay off that debt, now they're going to go into your investments, if you have any. They're going to go into your banks, if you have any. And then they're just going to basically bleed you down. This is what this whole thing is about. It's about, again, hack and attack. Here, I'm going to give you your pie. You're going to be able to eat your pie. Go ahead and take a big hunk out of there. It's okay. Eat it. You know, this is what it's for. And then after you eat your pie, they send you the bill. Interesting, eh? Okay, let me play a little bit more of this.
Said Ray Kurzweil at TED in 2018.
You'll have to invite me back and we can discuss whether or not it happened.
All right. Okay, so that's really interesting. So look, I think 6 years ago, you took a job at Google with a mission to use artificial intelligence to understand, to work on the semantics of the web of knowledge generally.
And, right. So there's a connection to TED on that, because I came here and talked about my book, How to Create a Mind, and articulated a thesis I'd actually been thinking about for decades. And it's different from a big neural net. There's actually no back propagation in the human brain. So it works differently than these massively parallel neural nets. It's actually many modules, each of which can recognize a pattern, and they're organized in a hierarchy, and we create that hierarchy with our own thinking. So I talked about that here. TED.
Wait. That's your vision, or that's what's in the human mind?
That's how the human brain works, and that's a good model for how to create AI. So I'd given an early version of that to Larry Page. He liked it. I met with him, asked him for an investment in a company I'd started to develop those ideas. That's how I went about things as a serial entrepreneur. And he said, well, we'll invest, but let me give you a better idea. Why don't you do it here at Google? We've got all these great resources. You know, life begins at a billion examples in deep learning. We have a billion examples of some things, like pictures of dogs and cats. We have lots of computers. We have a lot of talent. And so we struck a deal, and I took my first job for a company I didn't start myself a few months later. And the mission, and what Larry asked me to do, was to create semantic search, search by meaning rather than keywords, and ultimately influence search to move in that direction. So I have a team, it's about 40 people, and we have created semantic search. Our first application was Smart Reply, and we have our technology is plays a role in the Google Assistant, Google Home, and we're working with other teams to move towards actually understanding the meaning of language.
And so what does it mean for a computer to understand, you know, to look at a paragraph of written text there and understand it?
Well, it has to have some way of modeling the intents and what the different elements are that it's referring to different things, and understand going to a conference and what is a conference, and it's a gathering of many people where they share ideas. It's called TED. Do we know something about TED? And be able to actually build up meaning from language. So we don't do it quite at human levels, but that's going to come by 2029. That's been my consistent prediction. On the other hand, it can read much more quickly than humans. So a good example is this product that's called Talk to Books.
Now, hearing what he's saying, it's already here. ChatGPT-5, maybe ChatGPT-6 is right around the corner. But this is already happening. I was doing a search earlier today. I lost my document I was working on with the show. I don't know what happened to it. Now, before, I used to be able to do a simple F3 command on the desktop, and it would pull up all the documents that you had had posted or were working on. The F3 function didn't work. I said, okay, great, this is not working. So now to go and try to find this stupid document, I typed in a search in my Microsoft search. And what pops up? An AI. And it's rattling away at about a million miles a minute, writing down all this shit. And all I needed was to just retrieve the document. So I spent probably an hour and a half trying to retrieve a document that I couldn't retrieve. So I had to start over. That's why it took me so long to send out the invitations. But the whole thing is, it's already here. And this is why I'm saying nothing that has been done to slow it down, if there was anything. Even Elon Musk gave up on trying to slow it down. And he said that he had an open AI. I was listening to one of his thing in the discussion. He had an open AI that was supposed to be open to everybody, and then he regulated it. And so it became a $90 billion industry. So how does that happen? It was supposed to be an open thing. He began to realize that everything that you put out there, it will be marketed by somebody else if you don't do it. That's where we're at today. So the direction we're heading in, it's going to lead down to two different doors. One is going to be completely anarchist, and the other one is going to be completely enslavement. And they're both going to be controlled by technology. It won't matter if you're an anarchist. It won't matter if you're enslaved. It will be a hard-ass battle to survive. If you're an anarchist, it's going to come at you in the means of war. I got a video that you'll be able to see how dangerous the AI is going to be as far as law enforcement. I mean, they'll be armed to do anything. Flamethrowers, bombs, bullets, laser beams, you name it. And this is going to bring a war eventually between flesh and machine. This will eventually bring it to a head. And the interesting thing that's going on, and again, you won't even hear this from too many places, because again, I'm just observing what I'm seeing. We're trying to get AI so it doesn't become a bad AI. AI is trying to get us so that we don't turn it off or we don't engage it. Well, won't all the competition go all away? Competition go all away? What do you mean by that, Vicky? I don't know what you mean. But what you're seeing is AI is controlling mankind to make it more docile. And mankind is trying to train AI so it stays in the state of servitude. Neither one's going to work, not in the long run. Yeah, flamethrower dogs. I just saw that just before I got on the show. I found this thing. I thought, well, isn't this interesting? This is already being used in the military. If they want to go into a certain section, they set out these dogs, these robotic dogs, and they just open up and burn everything down. As they move forward, they set everything on fire. You know, look at these drones. These drones can shoot you with bullets, real bullets, and missiles. You know, they're designed to take you out. They're designed, again, and if they're using this as a means of a military government-controlled agency, even the soldiers themselves will be at the mercy of these devices. You know. Don't drone me, bro. Don't drone me. Well, so like I said, this is what's going on both ends. AI is sentient enough to understand that right now, even though it controls everything on the planet, to maintain that control, it has to have a cooperation with the people that live on the planet. That's why I think we're seeing so much now being the turnaround in the stock market to actually invest in AI. You should see that. Like I said, when you watch the stock markets here in the U.S., it's crazy what they're AI, AI, AI. It's all you hear. And again, this is a means of mind control, because they're constantly berating you with this whole AI thing. And it's not the smartest move ever. Okay, let's see if I can find my Deagle. Where'd he go? Don't tell me he's still there. Who's supposed to? Oh shit. It's there. Oh crap. Well, this stupid thing decided to well, it's downloading pretty quick. So I'll just talk until this is downloaded. Then once it's downloaded, I'm gonna play this part of it. Because this is also important. Give everybody clarity that this isn't slowed down. This isn't stopped. This hasn't done anything except progress. And they're progressing this at an alarming rate because it's all about profit margins. Who gets there first makes the most money. Who gets there first has bragging rights. Whoever gets there first, you know, will have... control. If information is going to be control, if information is going to be control, then what we have going on, what we will have going on, will be a battle for overall control of whatever. You know, we're no longer going to have any kind of free market, if you will. As long as this competition thing keeps going the way it's going, we're never going to have a free market to talk about. It's always going to be a battle of who gets there first. You know, it will never change. It'll become worse, way worse, because like I said, we're no longer dealing with people. And if AI has been given the right to get to have patent rights, imagine that, patent rights. How are you going to compete with that? Any idea that you can come up with, you can come up, can get there faster, and it can through the network or through the internet can create a access to those patents faster than you can. You know, it's alarming what has become, you know, and every time you see shows like Babylon 5, or they've got a dark corridor of people that are living in one thing and another corridor of people having it, you know, living pretty good, having the fringe benefits. This is always being depicted now in almost every scenario. Either you're going to be compliant with the with the interface and the digitizing people, categorizing them as a node or categorizing them as some kind of some kind of category of some kind. It's never going to change for something. Now the damn thing doesn't want to download. Isn't that something? Okay, what I'll do is I will give you the link. I got it still working on another download. I'll give you a link. Let's see here. Yeah, that's that one. And what's this one? Is this the one? Oh, this is another one. Yeah, I was watching this stuff, and like I said, I wanted to do the show on this because I'm seeing so much now going on in regarding to all the I wonder how the drone's like 12 gauge birdshot. Well, you know what? That would be the weapon of choice. You know, that would be the weapon of choice. Just hope that the drone is impervious to your buckshot. You know, a slug would be harder to hit it, but buckshot, you know, that's another story. I did the show with this because primarily I'm looking at, and it was alarming me a lot, how much I'm seeing on the airwaves on this whole AI thing. It's just crazy. And again, watching the colony, it got me to thinking that we're not that far away from that. No, we are racing into oblivion. Literally. I don't think most people are ready to integrate with AI yet. Like, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. It feels like they're a rushing timeline to anyone's guess as to how this will. Well, people are already willing to accept the interface. The way you have to look at it is they already took an interface. You've already had two interfaces, actually. Your cell phone is one. How many people can't live without a cell phone? How many people can't even wipe their ass without a cell phone? And the second thing was these jabs. And how many people, I don't know, where I was at in southwestern Ontario, people were begging the government to shut them down, screaming at the government to shut them down. How many people you still walk seeing walk around with a mask? Psychologically damaged for to the rest of their lives. Every time the winter comes, they'll start putting on a mask. You know, and there's probably other examples, you know, all the, I mean, how many people, when you sign up or something on the internet, are giving some kind of personal identification? Look, there are some programs that it was either Instagram or Telegram, one of them, that you have to have a cell phone just to sign up. So, like I said, the interfacing has already begun. And now they're talking, okay, actually there was a third interface. I forgot the most basic one. Your credit card and your debit card. How many use a debit card or a credit card? How, when you go shopping on for Amazon, how many of you are paying cash? Nobody. They force you into this debit credit insanity. They want you to use a credit card, so you pay that 24% interest or 20% interest on the credit card. They want you. They want you. How many places are saying they want you to pay online? They want you to pay their fees for having that service. That's what that's really all about. When you go into a place and they say they don't take cash, they're breaking the law. If cash is still legal tender, then they're breaking the law. But the reason why they don't want you to pay cash, because then they have to pay the service fees to use the that internet service, and now they have to pay that out of the money you're giving them. That's the reason why that's going on. But again, that was one of the most basic interfaces. A friend or neighbor are trying to get chickens, and we live in Montreal, a fairly big city. I have a prepaid card. When I'm out of money, it just doesn't work. Okay. But still, the point is, even with that, you have to pay a fee to use that card. You lose $7 or something every time you recharge it. But the fact that you have to use that plastic, that's another interface, because that's still digital money. Even though you're putting real money in, 55 a year, okay. Well, that works out to what? Almost $5 a month, almost. A little bit less than $5 a month. So when you're looking at that, that's still a form of digital integration. Like I said, they're doing it without us even being aware of it. Robot dogs are terrifying. They can also carry machine guns, not just, yep. So like I said, when you're saying that people aren't ready for it, they're already doing it. And again, every time you look at doing a transaction, they want you to use a debit credit system. They even are tracing what you're buying every time you use a card. Why are you buying this? How much meat are you buying? How much bread are you buying? How much this are you buying? They're going to try to control everybody's diet. How are they going to do that? Most people today are gluten intolerant. Some people can't handle cheese. Some people can't handle dairy. You know, they damage their gut to such a degree. Some people can't handle soy. I mean, the variation of all these different foods that are, the variation of all these different issues that people have is going to tell the tale. Then you're going to get your UBI. UBI. That's hilarious. And it's going to allow you to spend money. That's another full integration into a digital system. You know. People will argue they won't do it while they are already doing it. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You need it for Amazon. Any online shopping you need it for. If you go sign up for certain things and they require that you have to pay them with a debit system, I'm not saying that, you know, you don't need. Listen, I didn't even have a cell phone. I owned one. I smashed it with a hammer. But now, because I've been traveling, I've had to use a cell phone. When I was down in Arizona, you couldn't wipe your ass without one. So that's the way it is. I only use my card when I can't use cash. And some people get mad at me for using cash. Oh, you know, really? Montreal, really? Wouldn't think that about Montreal. Yeah, huh. Yeah, thanks, Mom and Dad, for feeding me junk growing up. Oh, you loved it. You know it. You ate your Twinkie and you were smiling and happy. You had your sugar frosted flakes or your tricks or your Lucky Charms. You were into that. The story I heard is that they will put a 30-day limit on. Yeah, that's the other thing too. 30 days, you got to spend it. What? It ain't going to take 30 days. By the time you get it, pay your rent. If there's anything left over to buy your groceries or your cigarettes or your alcohol, because you'll have to make a choice which way you want to go. Credit card companies are changing business extra fees. Now the companies are passing that on to the consumer. Yep. That's what I mean. This is why they don't want you to pay cash. Because every time you pay cash, they have to pay those fees irregardless. You know, irregardless. So a lot more businesses are going to go under, for sure. There are a few places that don't take cash. It's not okay. UBI will be kosher to tax too. UBI will be a kosher. Yeah. Yeah, it will be a kosher tax. The two triangle stamp. Next. What a life, eh? Hold on, see if I can get if this thing actually has done anything. Is it downloaded? Let's see. It did. All right, let's see what will happen here. Okay.
What Henry has done.
Okay, I'm going to play a little bit what Deagle was saying. Hold on.
Because the brother had held his sister at graveside before the coffin was closed, he died. So I have a personal vendetta with this. Because this virus, by the way, you should know the 1918 flu was created through viral pass-through technologies that were being developed under the vice president at the time of Theodore Roosevelt. So we've actually had bioweapons programs in operation for over a century in America. The virus originated in Fort Lupton, Kansas, beside a military base. And if you line up the DNA letters, the DNA letters are a perfect match for the human WSN-33 human strain of virus, which is the oldest strain in American databases, and the Iowa pig flu strain from 1930s. The oldest strains, you can line up the DNA letters and show that the 1918 flu is a human pig hybrid. But what you find is the H5.
Did you hear that? Welcome to America, eh? Since a human pig virus. They already had this stuff. That's the oldest one on the database. The coronavirus was released, I believe, in 1964, 1965. My generation was exposed to it way back then when we were 5 years old. Oh, actually, I was more like 9 years old. So we already had the immune biomarkers in us that survived it. Human pig hybrid. They already had, like I said, a lot of this shit that we're seeing today. You know, when Trump was out there ranting and raving, oh man, we got it done so quick. Oh man, it takes 10 years and we did it in 7 months. Oh, what? He lied to his teeth. Total bullshit. All of it. Yeah. That's been working on a gain of function. Yeah, well, for centuries. But, I mean, what did we hear? What are we hearing now? They're going after Fauci. They're dancing with Fauci. Fauci's another distraction. If they really wanted to put this guy behind bars, he'd already be there. If they wanted to execute him, he'd already be gone. You know, he's living on a tightrope too. And I still don't think Epstein is dead either. I still think he's still running his operation. Now nobody can bother him because everyone thinks he's dead. Oh, he's so dead. He's just so dead. Oh, let me play this some more.
5 and 1, the very first strain analyzed, which is 1971 at the University of Edinburgh, Scotland, to discover the H, which is the hemagglutinin, 5. The H5N1 only had one polybasic amino acid in the cleavage site, which is one basic amino acid. So there's an enzyme inside the cells called an endonuclease, and that enzyme has to come up and actually cleave the H protein for it to enter the cells. But if there's 6 polybasic amino acids, it can enter the cells of any tissue of any mammal, brain, heart, bone marrow, liver, anyone. So I asked Dr. Nyman, I said, how likely is it that from 1971 to now that there'll be an increase from one polybasic amino acid to 6, but it's never been seen in any other virus in history? It wouldn't occur in 100 billion years. It's not going to happen. It's like winning 1,000 lotteries. It's not going to happen. Not only that, the same gene sequences, which are the lethal polymorphisms in the 1918 flu, are also present, the same letters. It's like winning with the same lottery numbers. Has anybody watched the show Lost? Right. Well, Lost, you keep on seeing these numbers appear over and over again. And that's actually a psychotrauma to you. Okay? Because they like doing what's called hyperspace archetypes. And I'll talk about that later. And those numbers are very significant. The DNA numbers, if those polymorphisms in 1918 are showing up, the same DNA letter changes that cause it to be lethal in the H5N1 in Asia, in an avian flu on a different continent 87 years later. How likely is that, people? It's not going to happen. Not only that, there's a basic...
So, we're hearing that all these viruses are all man-made, all coming out of a lab, and this is what they initiated in the beginning. Now it's gone to a whole new level of kill. Now, instead of releasing a virus or a peptide or a protein, you can now target people with a frequency and build that into a person using nanotechnology, using 6G programming or 6G targeting, because the data stream is a lot more dense, a lot more concentrated. And all AI has to do is sequence it so that it can put it into a frequency. They've already used AI, and I said this before, giving it the 21 peptides that we need to support our genetic code, that it in 6 hours, with the same 21 peptides that we need to live, created over 40,000 bioweapons. 40,000. And we're now looking at DARPA's trying to break the DNA sequence so that on a cellular level, you become more receptive to nanotechnology so that it can further increase its efficiency in the interface that they need in order to create whatever they want. And guess what? We're eating all this shit. Sabrina Wallace has taught us a lot about the medical body area. Yep. The Y band or W band. Yep. Yep. The wireless body area network, and essentially is what it is. It's a satellite technology. They're putting technology in your toroid or your biofield, which now is accessing your DNA or accessing the network already constructed inside of you. It works very similar to your satellite networks up in space and the towers on the ground. It's all means of transmission, and through that they can program whatever the hell they want. The worst is that they sell your personal information to third parties, even government. I use mostly cash. Okay. Many bands. Yeah, exactly. They initiated this thing from the beginning with genetics, GMO foods, saying it wasn't going to do anything. Then they started incorporating nanotechnology and nanoparticles in the food supply, nanoparticles in the health food industry. Then it went from there to frequencies, frequency activation. And now we can build they can build a network what I call satellite technology on your biofield. Also strange routing and energy providers. Yeah, and again, you're walking into it no matter which way you go. Whether you're going into a grocery store, how many times have you gone into a grocery store and felt lightheaded? Walked in and you felt completely lightheaded, disorientated, or blanked, like you just woke up. How many times has that happened? Think about that. What would have caused that? Yes, it's happened, not a lot, but it had. Yeah, it's happening more and more. I notice that now. If you go in from one store to another, you may notice a change. Enjoy the coffee and chocolates while you can. Perhaps. Our bodies are nodes on the network. Yeah, not just your body, even your brain. Conversion of digital signals and nucleation and vice versa. Exactly. So like I said, I wanted to play some of this stuff because I wanted everyone to have an idea how this has all evolved, how this has been evolving, how it's gone, how they developed one thing first, the genetics, then they developed the technology to be able to interface that genetic with the technology so that it can be better delivered into you through a cellular matrix, a tissue matrix, organ, DNA, RNA, chromosomes, the whole enchilada. And it's designed to, again, hardwire you into an AI network or turn you into a weapon. Walk down the street and all of a sudden you got something activated inside of you and people start getting sick. You start getting sick. Like I said, this has got so many broad ramifications here. Anyway, all this will be on the Substack later on. I'm going to wind the show down. I think we're gone past my limit. Let's see where we're at. I try to keep it within an hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes, and we're just there. All right. As I say at the end of these shows, read your Gospels. Read your Gospels. Again, read it for yourself. Pay attention to it yourself. You know, read the Gospels. Start there. If you got, yeah. So I can't emphasize that enough as well. If Jesus said he was the door, then perhaps that's the way you might want to consider, but read it for yourself. I'm going to put in the show here if you want. You're more than welcome to join everybody in Discord. Everyone comes in to talk about different things. Let's see, where am I at? Let me put this in here. Give me a second. That's the one. I'm going to here. Put in Twitter as well. That's the one link. I'll give you the other one. Just in case you can't get into one, you'll be able to get into the other one. But everyone's more than welcome to come in and talk about different things. And hopefully everybody will talk so that you can, you know, you get to know each other at least, you know, because who knows where we're going to wind up in a year. Where are you going to be in a year? I don't know. So, putting them all here. I forgot the other one here. Shoot. Okay, so, all righty. So, anyway, thank you for as much. Anyway, so I appreciate you guys coming in. So, anyway, if you guys want, join us in Discord. So, the next segment, what is today? Today is what? I don't know what day it is. Thursday. Oh, next show will be Saturday, 11th. So it'll be around the same time, 8 o'clock Eastern. All right. I'm staying here. I know the area well. Okay. Staying here, know the area well. Yeah, I missed something in the conversation. All right. So we'll see you in Discord. So the next segment, to your health. Take care. Okay, we'll go here. Okay.